الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنا سيد ولد آدم يوم القيامة ولا فخر أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى through his kindness connected us to his most beloved servant Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is none more virtuous than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Khuda se to kam aur sab se aala. Khuda se to kam aur sab se aala. Below Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above everyone. خدا سے تو کم اور سب سے اعلی دو عالم سے بالا ہمارے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم our beloved نبی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم is more virtuous than anything in this world and anything in the hereafter he is only below Allah سبحانہ وتعالی Otherwise, he is above everyone. He is more virtuous than Adam alayhi salam. He is more virtuous than Ibrahim alayhi salam. He is more virtuous than Yusuf alayhi salam, Suleiman alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the embodiment of excellences. قاسم العلوم والخيرات حضرت مولانا محمد قاسم نانوتوی رحمہ اللہ تعالی سیز, جہاں کے سارے کمالات ایک تجھ میں ہے, جہاں کے سارے کمالات ایک تجھ میں ہے, all the excellences that اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی had granted to anyone in his creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered together all those excellences and He has made a bouquet, bouquet of those excellences which is called Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jahan ke sare kamalat ek tujh mein hai. The excellences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed Adam alayhi salam with, the excellences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed Isa alayhi salam with, the excellencies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed all the approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all those excellencies. So all the excellencies scattered here and there amongst the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam, amongst the awliya, amongst the malayika, whatever excellencies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered together all the excellencies and He bestowed His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all these excellencies. And if you look at it from the other side, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all the excellencies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all those excellencies, and then He distributed those excellencies. So He gave a few to Adam alayhi salam, He gave a few to Musa alayhi salam, He gave a few to Ibrahim alayhi salam, He gave a few to Ismail alayhi salam. Jahan ke sare kamalat ek tujh mein hai, tere kamalat kisi mein nahi magar do chaar. The excellencies scattered throughout the world are in you one, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as far as all your excellencies are concerned, if I look for those excellencies in someone else, I can only find two or four. Only a few. Embodiment of excellencies. Allahu Akbar. Embodiment of excellencies. He was Rasulus Satalayn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nuh alayhi salam. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. We sent Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam as a messenger to his people, only to his people. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُدَى. Hud alayhi salatu wa salam was sent only for his people, Aad. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ. Salih alayhi salatu wassalam was sent only for the people of Samud. وَلُوتًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ. Lut alayhi salatu wassalam was sent only for his people. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ. Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam was sent only for his people, Madian. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِنْ. Ibrahim alayhi salam only for his people. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a universal messenger. When he came into this world, he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. He did not say, O my people. O people, inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. I am the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent to all of you. The ulama are unanimous that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Rasulus Satalayn. He was a Rasul for the humans and he was a Rasul for the jinns. And as far as the malaika are concerned, there are two opinions. Some are of the opinion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not Rasulul Malaika. But majority of, out of the opinion, and this is the most correct opinion, that he was also Rasulul Malaika. So he was Rasulul Ins, he was Rasulul Jinn, and he was also Rasulul Malaika. And he himself says, أُرْسِلْتُ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ كَافَّ. He says in a hadith, فُضِّلْتُ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِسِتِّمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me certain characteristics, certain blessings, certain qualities, certain favors, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not granted to any Nabi before me. And one of those characteristics is, أُرْسِلْتُ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ كَافَّ. I have been sent as a Rasul to the whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the animals testified to the messengership and the prophethood of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the pebbles testified, even the trees testified. And by obeying the instruction of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the moon testified. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the moon to split. So he ordered, he instructed the moon to split, and the moon split. So practically even the moon testified that he is my Rasul also. And without our being deserving of this ni'mat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this ni'mat. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam said to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَلَّبْتُ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. I have very carefully looked at each and every person, because Allah has granted me the qudra, and I have very carefully studied each and every person. I don't have to study anyone else, because I have studied the cream of humanity. Because I was the medium between Allah and all the messengers. So I have seen Adam alayhi salam, I have seen Isa alayhi salam, I have seen Ibrahim alayhi salam, I have seen Yusuf alayhi salam, I have seen Dawood alayhi salam. So قَلَّبْتُ مَشَارِكَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. I have turned upside down the easts of the earth and the wests of the... That means I have seen each and every person very carefully. I have studied the characteristics of each and every person. I have studied the virtues of each and every person. And what is my conclusion? فَلَمْ أَرَ رَجُلًا أَفْضَلَ مِنْ مُحَمَّدٍ. My eyes have not seen anybody more virtuous than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a great name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our Nabi, and Allah has made us individuals of his ummah. Because he is the best Nabi, it follows that we are the best ummah. He is Khayrul Rusul, the best amongst the messengers. He is the best amongst the Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam. He is also Khayrul Bashar. He is the best amongst the humans. And he is also Khayrul Anam. He is best amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is more virtuous than Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, Israel. So because he is the best, his ummah has to be the best. Allah says, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Kuntum khayra, you are the best nation. From amongst the approximately 124,000 nations, you are the best nation. And Allah says in the glorious Quran, Kuntum khayra ummah, you are the best nation. One point says in Urdu, Kyun na paaye teri ummat khayre ummat ka khitab. Why should not your ummah be granted the title of khayr ummah? O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your ummah has to be given the title of khayr ummah. Your ummah has to be given the title of the best ummah. Why? Because you are khayr al-anam, the best of the creation. You are Khairul Bashar, best of the humans. You are Khairul Rusul, best of the Anbiya and the Rusul. So if you are best amongst everyone, then your ummah has to be the best amongst the ummahs. Kyun na paaye teri ummat khair ummat ka khitab. Tu hai jab Khairul Bashar, Khairul Rusul, Khairul Anam. When you are Khairul Bashar, when you are Khairul Rusul, when you are Khairul Anam, then why should not your ummah be given the title Khairul Ummah? You have to be, your ummah has to be Khairul Ummah. What a great honor bestowed to us, my friends, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has granted us this Nabi without our being deserving of Him. And He has made us individuals of His ummah without our being deserving of it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Great honor, my friends. Great honor. Great honor. Being the individuals of the ummah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or as a result of our relationship with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have been granted so many ni'mats. One ni'mat is, we are khayr ummah, we are the best nation. And on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ حَتَّى أَدْخُلَهَا. Jannat is haram upon all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam until I enter Jannah. I will be the first to enter Jannah. Then only Adam, my great grandfather, will be able to enter Jannah. Then only Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. As a result of whose dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me into this world, will be able to go in Jannah. They will not wait. They will not be able to go in Jannah until I do not enter Jannah. إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ كُلِّهِمْ حَتَّى أَدْخُلَهَا وَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأُمَمِ حَتَّى تَدْخُلَهَا أُمَّتِي. And Jannah is haram upon all the ummats until my ummat enters Jannah. We are last to come into this world, but first to go in Jannah. Let us, my friends, recognize this value. When we talk about it, we recognize that it's a great ni'mat. We recognize the value of this ni'mat. When we think, but we don't think about it. We don't talk about our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My young friends, my young daughters who have come here today in this gathering, how much do we talk about our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Think, let us all think, young, old, brothers, sisters, let us all think, ulama, non-ulama, let us all think that from morning, from the time we wake up in the morning until we go to sleep at night, how much or how many precious moments of our lives are we wasting? When we are sitting with our friends, we are busy talking about things that neither benefits us in this world nor the hereafter. If we are engaged in conversations which are haram, riba, backbiting, buhtan, slandering, then there can be nothing worse than that. But let us assume that we are not spending any moment in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are only spending our time in doing those things which are permissible. Permissible, but layani. Layani means it does not bring any reward. We sit down and talk about politics. Talk about politics. What is the benefit? No benefit. When I talk about politics, no benefit. When you talk about politics, it doesn't have any effect on the politicians or in the House of Commons or in the House of Lords. Our talking is not going to make any difference. So it's very simple, you can talk about it. But it neither brings any benefit in this world nor the hereafter. We talk about cricket, we talk about football, tennis, whichever sport we are inclined to, this team, that team, permissible. Permissible. If we are not obsessed to that extent that we violate the rights of Allah or the rights of the creation, then it is permissible. But if you become so obsessed that as a result of a football match, we neglect our salat with jamaat, then it is not permissible. Football, talking about football, watching football does not remain permissible because it has reached that stage where now we are violating the rights of Allah. So if we are not violating the rights of Allah or the rights of the creation and we are engaged in talking about football, cricket, this, that, it is permissible. But does it bring any profit? Does it bring any profit? And when we are on our own, alone. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice, Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, said to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man najat, what is the path to salvation? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three things you have to do if you desire to become successful in this world and the hereafter. The path to salvation, three things. Amlik alika lisanak. Have complete control over your tongue. Have complete control over your tongue. That means you should exactly know what you are saying. You should exactly know what you desire to say. You should exactly know what you desire to say. And once you know what you desire to say, you should be able to differentiate between what is permissible, what is impermissible. And if it is impermissible, you should speak. If it is something that is impermissible, you should not speak. This is control. Complete control over your tongue. Have complete control over your tongue. In English we say, think before you speak. Think before you speak. In Urdu we say, tol, phir bol. Weigh. First weigh. Is what I am about to say virtuous? Is it beneficial? Weigh. How beneficial is it? How weighty is it going to be on the day of Qiyamah in the mizan, in the scales? Tol, phir bol, then you speak. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. The people during the time of the good era, the time of the Sahaba, the time of the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in, people used to think before speaking. Then came a time when people used to think after speaking. At least they used to think after speaking. So even if you think after speaking, you are able to recognize your mistake and repent. Now we are passing that time when we are doing only one thing, speaking, there is no thinking, neither before nor after. Speak, that is the only thing we do. I have seen mashayikh, I have observed mashayikh, and I have sat in their company for hours, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours continuously. And not only once, many times. How many times? I cannot count. I saw them from a very close distance. And how many did they speak? In 3 hours, 4 hours, if a person desired to count the words that he spoke, it was practically possible for anyone. That is how much the Sheikh spoke. Why? Because he could not speak. Because he was not intelligent enough. Because he did not have knowledge. He didn't know what was going on around in the world. No, he was fully up to date with everything. But because he had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَكِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. This verse was in front of him. It was in his mind all the time that whatever I speak, there is an angel who is writing. And I will have to account for it on the day of Qiyamah. Man najat. First thing, amlik alayka lisanak. Have complete control over your tongue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man samata najat. One who remains silent, become successful. One who remained silent, he escaped from the problems of this world and escaped from the problems of the hereafter. Man samata naja. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very beautifully has set down a principle for us. What is that principle? Imla'ul khayri khayru minas sukut. To say something good is better than remaining silent. وَالسُّكُوتُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ إِمْلَاءِ الشَّرِ. And to remain silent is better than saying something which is evil, which is wrong, which is bad. But we will only know whether it is khair or shar if we think before speaking. But we never do that. In the initial stages, my friend, to bring this tongue under control, we have to speak as less as possible. Less and only speak when necessary. Only speak when necessary. Only speak with necessary. With wife, with husband, with children, with parents, with friends, with anybody. Only speak when necessary. And always think before you speak. Think before you speak. This will be a training ground. Think before you speak. Think, it is sure I can't speak. So keep your tongue under control. This is khair, so I should speak. Khair, shar, khair, shar, khair, shar. Control, speak, control, speak. After 6 months, 8 months, 1 year, you will have complete control over your tongue. So one thing we need to do in order to acquire salvation is complete control over our tongues. Number two, وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُ. And make sure you stay in the confines of your home. Make sure you stay in the confines of your home. Stay, don't leave your home without necessity. Don't leave your home without necessity. Nowadays we only remain in the home out of necessity. If it is not necessary to remain in the home, there is nothing to do at home, we leave the home. And if we are asked, where are you going? I don't know where I am going. That is the reality. I don't know where I am going. Majority of us, we don't know where we are going. So we are leaving the home without necessity. We are not prepared to stay in the home without necessity. Only when necessary, we will go in the home to sleep. We will go in the home to eat, especially the young generation. They will only go home to eat and sleep. It's like a bed and breakfast for them. Parents' home is like a bed and breakfast for them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. They have no time for parents. Ask me, my friends, ask me who does not have a father. Ask me what a valuable name the father is. Alhamdulillah, I still have a mother. She is nearly 80. And she is a great blessing for me. And I continue to pray for her shadow to remain upon me for as long as possible. It is the result of her prayers, her dua, that is protecting me from all four sides. Parents are a great blessing, my friends. Recognize this blessing, recognize this value. My sisters, recognize the value of parents and try to spend as much time as possible with your parents. My father passed away at the age of 28. At the age of 18, I went to Darul. At the age of 24, I graduated. And he passed away when I was 29. So until the age of 29, I was teaching at Darul Umbel. So I was away from home. So at the age of 17, 18, I entered at Darul Umbel. I studied at Darul Umbel. I completed my alim course and then I taught in Darul Umbel. I was appointed the teacher at Darul Umbel. It was a great honor for me. And I continued teaching until my father passed away. And it was only after my father passed away that I moved to Leicester with my mother. I have nothing but regrets. That I was so busy learning, teaching, that I could not give quality time to my father. I could not sit in his company. I could not serve him. He was a very, very affectionate father. And I always tell people that whatever you are whatever little good you are able to see in me, it is the result of my father's prayers.
One day I was sitting early in the morning, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., with my late mentor Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala in his bedroom in Barbados. We were together in Barbados. And everybody left, and it was only me and my Sheikh. And we were talking, he was sitting on the sofa in the bedroom, and I was sitting on the floor with my hands on his knees. And it was getting late, so sometimes even my forehead and my cheek on his knees as well. And it was a very, very friendly conversation, so much affection from my Sheikh. It was 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning, and I started telling him regarding, and I said, through the fadl of Allah and the barakat of my asatida, through the fadl of Allah and the barakat of my mashayikh. So a few times I said, barakat of my asatida, barakat of my mashayikh, barakat of my asatida, barakat of my mashayikh. He said, barakat of your parents, Allah. Barakat of the dua of your father and your mother. So I looked towards him with a question in my eye. So he said, the attention of the asatiza and the attention of the mashayikh that you have been able to acquire is the result of the prayers of your parents. You cannot acquire anything in this world without the prayers of your parents. He said, whatever you have acquired is the result of the prayers of your parents. Despite him being very, very affectionate to me, and I have said this publicly in my interview, that whatever little good you see in me is the result of the prayers of my father and my mother. Despite that, and he passed away in 1991. We are 26 years away from 1991. 26 years! But I still, that remorse is still fresh when I think about it. But I did not spend time with my mother. And even now my mother lives with me. But because of busy schedule, I cannot spend enough time with my mother. And I always think to myself that if the day Allah takes this ni'mat away from me, if this ni'mat goes before me, only Allah knows how I will be able to console myself. Great ni'mat, my friends. Great, my young friends, my young sisters, my daughters, my sons, please, value this great ni'mat. Serve them, make them happy, so that you become deserving of their praise, which will emanate from the depths of their hearts, and as a result, Allah will grant you every success of this world and every success of the hereafter. If until now we have neglected this ni'mat, let us repent. Let us repent and ask for their forgiveness also, and mend our ways. We have no time for parents. We have no time for our wives. We have no time for our husbands. We have no time for our children. We have no time for our parents. We have no time to visit our relatives. We are so busy with our friends that we cannot visit our uncle, we cannot visit our auntie, who are living in the same city, same town, who may be sick. No, we have no time. No time. And who are these friends? Who are the ever-changing friends? Uncles don't change. Aunts don't change. Parents don't change. Brothers don't change. Sisters, friends ever-changing. Why? Why? Because we don't love friends. Our relationships are not based on love. We are based on lust. Lust of any type. Because we enjoy his company. His fun. He's amusing. I like his company. He's amusing. And the day I find someone more amusing, I will leave him and I will go in his company. I always ask young friends, that look at your friend circle. It has not always changed. When we were in nursery, our friends were someone else. And when we go to primary, our friends change. When we go to high school, our friends change. When we go to college, our friends change. Our friends change. Because our friendship, our relationship are based on lust, not love. There is a difference between love and lust. Lust only, because we enjoy a particular thing. It is written regarding the people of Jahiliyyah that they would carry their gods made of stones in their bags when they are traveling. And if they found a more beautiful stone, they would throw the old god away and they would take the new stone. This is exactly what we are doing. Because he is no fun anymore. I don't want him. I don't like him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُ. Remain within the confines of your home. That means spend as much time as possible in your homes. Only leave your home if you need to go to work, if you need to go to the doctor, if you have an appointment somewhere, if you need to go to perform salah, if you need to drop your children. Leave your home only out of necessity and spend the rest of your time within the confines of your home. Why? Because there is fitrah outside the home. Fitrah outside. Within the confines of your home, you will remain more safe than outside. And if you remain within the confines of your home, you will be able to complete your mamulat, your daily practices, your tilawat, your zikr. Because you will have ample, you will not be able to kill time. So how do you kill your time when you are inside the home? You will have time to talk to your children. You will have time to understand your children and make your children understand you. You will be able to understand your wife. Your wife will be able to understand you better. And the problems that you may be facing in your marriage, it will be resolved if you spend time with your family. You will be able to learn, teach a happy family. A good, happy family. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُ. Stay in the confines of your homes. This is the second advice. And third advice, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَتِكَ. Whenever you make a mistake, then cry. Cry over that mistake. Shed tears and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. If you do these three things, if you have complete control over your tongue, if you remain within the confines of your homes, you do not leave your home without necessity. And number three, whenever you make a mistake, you shed a tear. And if you cannot shed a tear, then pretend to cry and say, Allah forgive me. Then that is najat. That is najat. Najat in the hereafter, so najat in this world also. Allah will save you from all the calamities of this world and the hereafter. But nowadays, even when we are within the confines of our homes because of the mobile, we are not alone. So we are spending quality time with our wife, but she is sitting on her own in front of us because we are busy with our gadget. So we are spending 2 hours with our wife. Even the older generation, they don't realize that we are just sitting with our wife and she doesn't know how to use a mobile, so we are busy on our WhatsApp, looking at various programs. Even the older generation. We have complaints from the older generation also, the ladies, that my husband is sitting with me, but he is busy in his own work. So there is no seclusion. There is no seclusion and solitude of the mind. Even when we are performing salah, we cannot switch off our mobile. Switch off the mobile, my friends. Once we enter the Jamaat Khana, the masjid area, before entering the masjid area, switch off the mobile. And when you leave the masjid, switch on the mobile. That will save you from looking at your mobile in between salats. Immediately after first salat, you look at the mobile. Has anybody texted me? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The last thing we look at is the mobile, and the first thing we look at is the mobile. And what messages are we getting? Nonsensical messages. Useless messages. Because it is free, time is free, and messages are free, both things are free. So use it as much as you want. We don't realize what we are wasting the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Once in Ramadan, a student studying in a full-time madrasa came to meet me at the Islamic Dawah Academy in the month of Ramadan. So I asked him who he was, where he was from. So he said, I study in this madrasa full-time, I am in Alim class. And I was free during the month of Ramadan, so I thought of spending some time with the Jamaat. So I have come to this masjid with Jamaat and I have taken permission from the Amir Sahib to spend a few hours with you. He came after Dhuhr. So I said, you will be here till when? He said, until after Taraweeh I will be here with you. I said, Alhamdulillah. A student of a full-time Darul, not his class, Alim class,
and so much concern for deen that he did not stay home and wander around here and there. He went in the path of Allah in the month of Ramadan. So somebody attached to deen. And he had so much love for ulama mashayikh that he took permission from his Amir Sahib and he came to spend half a day with me. So imagine his status as far as deen is concerned. But it so happened that coincidentally, we stood together for Tarawih Salah. He was on my right hand side, I was on his left hand side. After every four rakat, he was checking his text. He was not a bad boy. If we don't supervise and monitor ourselves, then we fall in traps which we do not even realize, my friend. After every four rakats, he was checking his mobile. He was reading his text messages. So I was saying, friend, that how much time we are wasting, do we realize? The topic that we are discussing is Zikr-e-Nabi. Great life. We know he was the greatest. We know he was the best. We know he was the most virtuous. Whenever the Sahaba-e-Karam Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajmain describe him and they mention his characteristics, they always use the superlative noun. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَشْجَعَ النَّاسِ. He was the bravest. From amongst the people, he was the most brave. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْوَى النَّاسِ. From amongst the people, he was the most generous. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ. From amongst the people, he was the most handsome. Most. Great person. But that is what we know. We don't know the details. Details of this Nabi. So let us amongst talk about deen. Let us learn. I tell the students in madaris also. But when I'm doing, you study 6 hours hadith, tafsir, fiqh. 6 hours you study. And then you have 2 hours compulsory study time when you study again. So 8 hours is compulsory. But I say in your free time you talk about this and that. Talk about ilm, talk about tafsir, talk about hadith, talk about worldly matters also. It is permissible. And it is necessary to talk about worldly matters also because we have to live in this world. So we need to know certain things about this world as well. Our religion does not prohibit us from talking about worldly matters. Why I am emphasizing a particular aspect is because that is where we are weak. I don't have to encourage you to talk about worldly matters because we are already doing that. We are already doing that more than we are supposed to. Let us talk about our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In order to talk about our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will have to study this great life. We will have to study this great life. Mahatma Gandhi, the well-known figure of India, Mahatma Gandhi, world famous personality. Somebody gave him the biography of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in 2 volumes. So he read this biography of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he completed the 2nd volume, he said, I was sorry that I had no more to read of this great life. Mahatma Gandhi, a non-Muslim, after reading 2 volumes of the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, after commenting about the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I was sorry I had no more to read of that great life. That is how much enjoyment I found. And we are the members of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how much enjoyment we will find. So let us study the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the first thing I would like to appeal to all of you to do. That was the introduction in the initial, that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest. If he was the greatest, we need to study him and we need to talk about him. If we study him, we talk about him amongst ourselves and amongst our non-Muslim colleagues as well. They will get a better understanding of who he really was. How merciful he was. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as mercy for all the world. The Quran says this. Everything he did, everything he said, everything he instructed was nothing but mercy. Every sunnah and every command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is full of mercy. There is mercy, but one has to go into the depth of that
that command. And one has to understand the deen as a whole in order to understand that particular hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that particular injunction of our deen. In order to understand the function of the indicator, in order to understand the function of the accelerator, one has to study the whole car. One has to understand the whole car. Without understanding the whole car, you can, if somebody doesn't know what a car is, and he picks up this stick which is indicator and he says, what is this? What is this? What is this stick? You will not be able to make him understand how important it is for a car. In order for him to understand the function of the indicator, he has to understand the function of the whole car. Similarly, there are certain things upon which the non-Muslims object. But they just take that one hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not be able to understand. We cannot make them understand. They have to understand the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or at least majority of the deen of Allah in order to understand. Let us study the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let us try to study as much as possible the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Find a good alim of your choice, who is good, who is God fearing, who is knowledgeable, who is concerned about his hereafter and the hereafter of the ummah, and ask him to guide you on a book which is appropriate for you to read. Because there are so many books written on seerah. And begin, read one book. When you complete, we have been told that it is always, in order to acquire knowledge, it is always best to read the whole book. There are two ways of studying any subject. You read bits and pieces from here, 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 because you can't read the whole book, 300 pages, 400 pages, 200 pages. So some people choose to read bits and pieces from here and there. And some people read the whole book from here. It's always best to read the whole book from beginning till end, and it's always best to read it 3 times. When you finish, then you take another book. This is the best way of acquiring ilm and studying. So find the book on seerah. Study it. Thereafter ask that alim again, that I finished with that book, can you please guide me? Can you please guide me? Slowly, slowly study. Imagine within the next 10 years how much knowledge you would have acquired in regard to the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know Islam is the true religion, and we all know that all the objections that are brought in the media, social media, print media, they are baseless. We know. We are 101%. We have no doubt. But we are unable to explain because we don't have the knowledge. I have written a small booklet, Learning About Islam, a Pressing Need of Our Time. For everybody, Learning About Islam, a Pressing Need of Our Time. Before the non-Muslims did not ask so many questions. This is a great time for us to do da'wah of our deen. Because everybody want to know what Islam is. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why has this happened? So please, read seerah, and with seerah also learn the injunctions of Islam. What is farz, what is wajib, the fara'is, the wajibat, the sunan, the mustahabbat, the nawafil, the muharramat, the haram, and the makruhat tahrimiya, makruhat tanzihiya, and try to practice. So seerah and the load. This is, please, from today, inshallah, make a firm resolution. Second thing, after learning, let us try to implement as much as possible. So learn and practice, learn and practice, learn and practice, as much as possible. Learn the fara'id and practice, learn the wajibat and practice, learn the sunan and practice, learn the sunan muakkada and practice, learn the sunan ghair muakkada and practice, learn the mustahabbat and practice, learn the haram and abstain, learn the makruhat tahrimiya and abstain, learn the makruhat tanzihiya and abstain. And wherever we sleep, make tawbah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq. Don't give up. Don't give up and say, I've tried to abstain from this sin so many times, but it's not working. It's been 5 years, it's not working. It's not working. I've tried a sheikh, I've tried umrah, I've tried hajj, I've tried jamaat, I've tried everything basically. It's not working. No, continue. Because we have no choice. We have no choice. So continue and continue asking Allah, that, oh Allah, I know this is haram. and I know it's possible for me to practice, but it's me who is weak, I'm just giving in to my nafs. Oh Allah, help me. Without your help, I will not be able to rid myself of this problem. Oh Allah, if we make a concerted effort, sooner or later Allah's help will come, my friend. And sunan of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Try to adorn yourself with his sunnats. Try to adorn your home with his sunnats. Try to adorn your daily life with his sunnats. And number three, he is great. And not only great, he has conferred so many favors upon us. And he will confer favors upon us on the day of Qiyamah also. We owe him so much that the least we can do for him is send salutations upon him. So we need to send as much durood as possible upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we send durood upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, then we benefit more than he does. When you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, oh Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is already sending his blessings, whether we say it or not. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made durood salat ala Nabi an excuse for our forgiveness, excuse for our success in this world and the hereafter. So when we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, oh Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only benefit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets is blessing. And that too without our saying, Allah is already sending his blessing. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Indeed, Allah and his malaika are continually sending blessings upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when we send salat ala nabi, there are countless benefits of this world and the hereafter that we will acquire. Har dard ki dawa hai salli ala Muhammad. The problem to every solution is salli ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. The least everyone should do is send 300 salutations upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best formula of Salat alam Nabi is the durood that we recite in our Salat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. And there are other formulae. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin kama tuhibbu wa tarda. The shortest formula is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My friends, it won't take long. Begin with the durood Ibrahim once, read once, thrice, and then the remaining 298 or 292 times sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter again finish it off with once durood Ibrahim or thrice durood Ibrahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. I am concluding now. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a great blessing for us. A great ni'mat for us. And this ni'mat that Allah has given us, let us not let go of that ni'mat. In order to hold on to that ni'mat, what do we have to do? We have to do four things. We have to do four things. Number one, read his seerah as much as possible, so his love, his recognition and love increases in our hearts. And let us try to spread that seerah, sometimes in book form. Try to find a good book on seerah and try to gift it to somebody. Give books as gifts, Islamic books as gifts. Talk about that seerah. Talk about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma unka jahan bhi liya jayega, zikra unka jahan bhi kiya jayega,
नूर ही नूर सीनों में भर जाएगा, सारी महफिल में जलवे टपक जाएंगे। टॉक अबाउट है, टॉक अबाउट नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम, रीड अबाउट नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम, नंबर वन। नंबर टू, ट्राई टू लर्न द इंजंक्शंस ऑफ द ब्यूटिफुल दीन दैट ही हैज ब्रोट, व्हाट इज फर्ज, व्हाट इज वाजिब, व्हाट इज सुन्ना, व्हाट इज मुस्तहब, व्हाट इज नफल, व्हाट इज हराम, व्हाट इज मकरूह तहरीम, व्हाट इज मकरूह तंजीह। ट्राई टू कैरी आउट द डूज एंड अब्स्टेन फ्रॉम द डोंट्स। टू, नंबर थ्री, इन कैरिंग आउट द डूज गो एज फार एज कैरिंग आउट द बेसिक सुन्नत्स ऑफ आवर बिलीविंग नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम। फर्ज इज नेसेसरी, वाजिब इज नेसेसरी, सुन्नत मुअक्कदा इज नेसेसरी, बट कैरी आउट सुन्नत गैर मुअक्कदा आल्सो। फोर रकात बिफोर असर सलात, फोर रकात बिफोर ईशा सलात, एंड ऑल्सो द मुस्तहब्बात। एंड नाउ डेज द ट्रेंड इज इट्स ओनली मुस्तहब, इट्स ओनली मुस्तहब। डॉक्टर अब्दुल हई आरिफी रहिमहुल्लाह तआला, ही वॉज द खलीफा ऑफ शेख हकीम मोहम्मद हजरत मौलाना अशरफ अली थानवी रहमतुल्लाह अलैह। ही वॉज डॉक्टर बाई प्रोफेशन, ही वॉज अ होम्योपैथिक डॉक्टर। इनिशियली ही वॉज लॉयर बाई प्रोफेशन, लॉयर बाई प्रोफेशन, एंड ही एक्सेप्टेड हकीम उम्मा मौलाना अशरफ अली थानवी रहमतुल्लाह अलैह एज ए स्पिरिचुअल मेंटर, एंड ही रिमेन्ड इन टच विद हकीम उम्मा मौलाना अशरफ अली थानवी रहमतुल्लाह अलैह फ्रॉम अ वेरी क्लोज डिस्टेंस। एवरी He said that since I accepted him as my sheikh, until he passed away, many years passed, not a single week passed when I did not consult him regarding my spiritual and dini affairs. I was studying in Aligarh, Hazrat was in Thana Bhavan. He said that every week I used to write a letter to him, and every weekend I used to visit him. This is how concerned he was during his studying days. And then he said, I became a lawyer. After graduating as a lawyer, he said, it did not give me satisfaction. I thought to myself that this profession is not good for somebody who desires to remain religious. Because you have to take cases whether he is saying the truth. He said, I was not feeling comfortable, so I decided to change my profession, and then he became a homeopathic doctor, and he remained until the end, a very, very expert homeopathic doctor. So by profession he was a lawyer and thereafter doctor, not an alim. He did not take admission in any madrasa. But as a result of the company and the spiritual training of Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he reached that status where Mufti Taqi Usmani and his brother Mufti Rafi Usmani, great ulama of our time, they both accepted him as their spiritual mentor. And Mufti Taqi Usmani, Mufti Rafi Usmani, Tamat Barakatuhum, were trained by Dr. Abdul Arifi Rahimahullah. And I myself have heard Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Tamat Barakatuhum, say on various occasions, I have heard my Sheikh, Dr. Abdul Arifi Rahmatullah, say something which I have not found anywhere in the books. Ibn Wahhabi, Allah granted him ilm. My late Sheikh, Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Ludhiani rahimahullah ta'ala, the Khalifa of Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, and also Khalifa of Dr. Abdul Arifi rahmatullah alayhi, every Monday, great scholar of his time, but every Monday he would make sure that he goes and sits in the company of Dr. Abdul Arifi rahmatullah alayhi, despite Dr. Sir not being an alim, and they used to benefit. My Shaykh also used to quote his statements. So Dr. Abdul Arifi Rahmatullah Ali, he says that what is the meaning of mustahab? Because nowadays people say it's only mustahab. What is our culture? Nafal, that means you don't have to do it. Not you don't have to do it, you don't need to do it. Mustahab, you don't need to do it. Sunnah ghair muakkada, you don't need to do it. We only worship Allah out of fear. Sunnah muakkada we have to. Why? Because if we don't, we will be punished. Wajib we have to. Why? Because if you don't, we will be punished. Farz, why? Because we will be punished. Haram, we have to abstain because we will be punished. Makruhe tahrimi, we have to abstain because we will be punished. Makruhe tanzi, it doesn't really matter because no punishment. So Dr. Sahib used to say that what is the meaning of mustahab? He used to say the meaning of mustahab is desirable. So he said, something that is desirable, is it to do or is it to leave?
Should you be doing something that is desirable or should you be leaving? He said desirable. Pasandida. In Urdu he used to say, mustahab ka maana hai pasandida. To pasandida cheez karne ke liye hoti hai ya chhodne ke liye? This is my desirable dessert. So what do? Because it's desirable, you leave it? Desirable means no, I will eat and eat twice, thrice, because it's desirable. So he said it's mustahab. Mustahab means it is something that is desirable and it is something that we should do, not to leave. So even mustahabbat and the sunan, in our daily lives, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat, how he used to dress, how his appearance was, acquire the commentary of the Shamail written by Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi, and also the sublime conduct of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Best book on sunnahs, the sublime conduct of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Best book on sunnahs, most comprehensive book on sunnah. Try to read 2-3 sunnahs every day and try to implement as much as possible. And finally, read as much durud as possible. 300 is minimum. If you are able to read more than 300, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these practices bring us even more closer to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may we find within our hearts love that reaches that stage which becomes a burning desire to go to Madina Munawwara, burning desire to stand in his court and convey salam, burning desire to quickly see the day of Qiyamah and to see his blessed face, burning desire to acquire his intercession, burning desire to be with him in Jannah forever and ever. And may we find that feeling in our heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa akhiru da'awana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa jama'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق ووحد صفوفهم. اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم امكر لهم ولا تمكر عليهم. اللهم زدهم ولا تنقصهم ولا تسلط عليهم من لا يرحمهم ولا يخافك فيهم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك. والمسجد الأقصى المبارك. والمسجد الأقصى المبارك. واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف
وقال ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.